to worship and adore the Lord our God.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, a message from God's Word brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message in its entirety again, to download it, or to choose from a variety of other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, log on to WGCRpreaching.net.
Isaiah chapter 55, let's stand together. We'll read just about 7 verses of Scripture, and I'll try to share with you what the Lord has done, put in our heart. The Bible said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not." You know who that is? You know who that is? That's us, neighbor. That's them Gentiles. Hey, you're looking at one Gentile dog that's glad that the Jews didn't want him because he came looking for us. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said in verse number 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." You can be seated. I want you to keep your Bible open tonight with the help of God. I want to preach on this thought. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? The greatest question was asked by that Philippian jailer. I mean, the power of God had shook that jail. Much look it like it shook this church. Amen. And the shackles fell off Paul and Silas. They'd been singing Amazing Grace at the midnight hour. And you better believe me, neighbor, in America, we're living in a dark hour. Amen. But I'm glad God's hand is not bound. I'm glad God's hand is not stayed in the midnight hour. I'm glad he's God in the day, and I'm glad he's God in the night. Amen. I'm glad even in our country, when the horizon looks dark and black, I'm glad, blessed be the name of the Lord, that I've got confidence that his arm's not shortened and his ear's not deaf, that he cannot save. Amen. And I'm telling you, that Philippian jailer got under Holy Ghost conviction, and the Bible said that he sprang in and he asked Paul and Silas the question of the ages. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" And the man of God said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And then he said, "Come, and thy house." I'm glad in these days of revival, we've seen some husbands and wives get saved on the same altar. I'm glad I've seen some families put back together. I'm glad it's a household. You hear me? It's a household salvation. And tonight, I don't care if you're a religious sinner. I don't care if you're the meanest man in Pickens County. I'm glad you can get saved tonight. If God, the Holy Ghost, quickens your spirit and draws you with the Holy Ghost, I'm glad, because the Word of God and the promises of this Bible, I'm glad to tell you, you are a candidate for salvation. In these verses, the Lord indicts Israel. He said, you're spending money for things that don't satisfy. And if I've ever seen a time, we think we can find peace in a career. We think we can find peace in a marriage. I wonder how many people have got a divorce because they thought their husband or thought their wife was going to be the answer for that dull void down in the depths of their soul. And listen, that husband didn't feel it. And that wife didn't feel it. And then they decided, we're going to have some children. That must be what we're missing. And they had a child. And that didn't work. So they had another child. And that didn't work. So they've just thrown their hands up and said, man, I'm just not happy. I mean, they look to a career. They've looked to an education. They've looked to a 401k. They've looked to the stock market. They've looked to church membership. They've looked to the baptismal waters. They've looked to the assurance that somebody else has told them that they're all right. But down in the deep recess of your heart, you know you don't lay your head on your pillow with the peace of God reigning in your soul. You've tried it all. I say, as the songwriter said, try Jesus. He never fails. Try Jesus. I'm telling you, he never has found a case that he was not able to take care of. He indicted the nation of Israel, but that wasn't all. And I indict you. These folk been here for 3 weeks, and you're still lost. You're still lost. God help. If you're waiting on a better meeting to get saved, you probably ain't going to find one. You say, well, I'm going to go back and try to find something better tomorrow. You can look till the cows come home, and you'll never find anything like him. Hey, like they said, he's everything in the first verse of that song. He's everything. When you get saved and you find out he's all you've got, you'll find out he's all you need. Amen. I tell you, listen, the Lord said, you're spending money on things that don't satisfy. Teenager, it's not in a college education. I walked across a platform and graduated with honors, with a business administration degree and in finance, and I walked across with honors. I graduated in high school, a 6 in my class, in all kind of athletics I played. But listen, they ain't never been a football. There's never been a touchdown. There never has been a dunk. There never has been a home run that ever did for me. What happened to me when I was 13 years old and I put my faith in Jesus Christ and got born again, that was the best day of my life. Best day. Best day. Best day. They ain't no young lady that pretty. There's no pleasure that good. There's no paycheck that big. There's no baptism of waters that clear. There's no award that you could get that'll satisfy your soul. I used to deal with those millionaires at the bank. I was a commercial lender, and those millionaires would come in my office. They were going, instead of going home after work, they were going to happy hour to drown their sorrows, because that's all they knew to do. Hey, they had to numb it because they didn't want to feel the life they were living in. Oh, they had more money in the bank that they could do with. Listen, they could write a check and pay my salary for 10 or 15 years. But I tell you, I'd rather lay down on my pillow tonight with sickness in my body, but the peace of God in my heart, than to lay down with millions upon millions upon millions in the bank with no peace of God and no hope. That that when tomorrow breaks, or if it doesn't come, or that I'm going to be in a better land. He said, you're spending money on things that won't satisfy. See, them drunks started drinking because they liked it. But now they drink because they have to. Can't make it through the day. Are you listening? Hey, young people, they ain't nothing like salvation. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I done been there. I done been in the circles of business. The last loan I was underwriting was a $10 million loan. Left right in the middle of it. Went full time into preaching. Never have looked back. Never have wanted to go back. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I got satisfied when I got saved. He just didn't indict them, but he did like he did to you the other night after church. He not only indicted their foolishness, he then invited their fellowship. He said, come. Look at verse 3. You got that good Scofield Bible? Let me borrow that right there. Yes, a good Scofield Bible. Let me flip over to page 761. It said, incline your ear. And the message is still the same. He said, come unto me. I like number 44 in that red book. Come unto me. Come unto me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. I'm glad the invitation never has changed. It still has come unto me. I don't understand why sinners want to run the other direction. He's not saying run and he's not saying go. But the word of the Bible said come. And he said come not to an altar and not to a baptism. And not to a church, but he said, come unto me and live, amen. And live, and live, and live, and live, and live. See, over there in Ezekiel, I believe it's chapter number 16, there was an aborted young'un laying out there in the wilderness, dirty. The Bible said polluted in its own blood. But if that was the end of the story, that wouldn't be a real good story. But he said, I passed by thee. And he said these words, live. Is that Ezekiel 16? Check my reference right there. Somebody look at that. Ezekiel 16. Am I rightly dividing, Brother Jack? That's Ezekiel 16. I believe it's verse number 16:8. Here's another one of them good Scofield Bibles. Hallelujah. He said, now, when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold thy time. Was the time of love. I'm telling you, it's not time of judgment tonight. It's a time of love. He's not passing by your heart and telling you there's judgment coming. Oh, but he's wooing you and he's speaking into you the depths of your heart. And he said, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. He said, this was thy time of love. And he said, I spread my skirt over thee. There was another place there was some skirt spreading. And that was in Ruth chapter 3. She just laid down at his feet. Spread thy skirt over me. And then he said, you know what? That's all you've got to do tonight. Come lay down at his feet and say, spread thy skirt over me. And praise God, just like Boaz took Ruth as a bride, he'll make you part of the bride of Christ tonight. And just like that aborted younger neighbor, he'll say, live, live, live this evening. Live, 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 live. Why do we need to live? Because we're dead. We'll give you three things and I'm going to be done. Thank God for the touch of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Can I just tell you what happened? I got distressed over our breathing. I called my wife. I said, honey, would you meet me with that machine? Before I ever got down there to meet her. Yes. About that big factory, right before you get to 85, he slipped in and sat down in the car with me. And I wasn't labored no more. And I wasn't having trouble catching my breath. Hey. I may die in 5 minutes, but he helped me right to you. Number one, what must I do to be saved? Number one, I want you to notice that there's a fruitful time. There's a fruitful time. Look at verse number 6. If I'm rightly dividing, it said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and to call on him, call ye upon him while he's near. Proverbs 1 said, because I've called and ye refuse, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. The Bible said, Proverbs 21:1, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his heart, hard as the neck, shall suddenly be cut off, and yet without remedy. You better hear me, neighbor. It's a good time. Well, there's a time to get saved. And if God's a dealing with you, you better get saved when he's calling. Because there may be a day, young person, when you decide you are going to change. When you do want to be different. And you do want to be a Christian. But the problem is, God may be nowhere around to save you. Call on him while he's near. Hebrews said that Esau, after he sold that birthright for a morsel of meat, he said he sought for a place of repentance. He wanted to get it back. But the Bible said he sought it, though he sought it carefully with tears, he found none. You better hear me, moves of God like I've been able to experience at this place in the last 3 weeks. They're just not your everyday meeting. And it just ain't every day when 55 souls get born again in 3 weeks. And I tell you, conviction was so strong in here last Tuesday night. I left with such a burden. And the words of the preacher said, I wouldn't be surprised if I got a call before the sun comes up at somebody's dad. Is that what you said? You think you're just going to push him away and push him away? No, that ain't how it works, neighbor. You think you're going to go out there and sow your wild oats and do what you want to do, and then when you get big, you're going to say, hey, God, I'm ready to get saved, and he's just going to be there waiting. There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee. You remember I told about last couple of weeks, I don't know when I said what I said when, but I said it sometime. That man, he was 19 years old, second week, a Tuesday of a protracted meeting. His aunt came to him and said, son, wouldn't you like to get saved today? And he said, I don't want to get saved. He said out loud, Holy Ghost, leave me alone. And as an aged man, his testimony in a meeting was, he told a preacher, he said, I've been trying to find God for 50 years. He said, I've been in every meeting that I could possibly find. I've been in every service that I thought God would move. And he said, I've not found him yet. He said, 50 years ago, God took me at my word and he's left me alone. And I wonder how many young'uns is going to go to hell because God pushes. Hey, listen, their mother pushed God away. And she's going to fall out somewhere and them little young'uns is going to follow her out. And mama, you may get saved, but your kids may never come back. Hey, there's a fruitful time. Can I say, it's going to be too late after the rapture. Man, I remember where I was on 9/11. I was standing in the break room on the second floor of the bank. And man, they began to show those awful scenes of those planes crashing into those towers. And then them people started jumping out of them buildings. Man, how many of you saw them those pictures of those folks jumping out of the building? What's sad is, Brother Adam, some jumped from one fire to another fire. They thought that jet fuel was hot. They thought that gas was hot. They thought that molten steel was hot. But neighbor, when they jumped out on that road and their body stopped, but their soul kept going. Well, neighbor, it was too late. And America flocked to the house of God on 9/11. But most of them found nothing when they got there. I mean, they started beating on the tower. Hey, they started beating on the doors. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. But they didn't get saved. And it's going to be like that in the rapture. I mean, all kind of hell's going to break loose. And the judgment of God. And they're going to beat on the doors of the house of God. But it's going to be too late. That old hymn said this: I never thought I'd see the day when you'd come to kneel and pray. I never thought that I would see the church house filled to capacity. But outside the door, there's more who have never been before. How sad the fate, they only came but one day too late. You'll come one day too late, one day too late. Jesus came and you've been left behind to wait. Yesterday you could not find time for Jesus on your mind. How sad the fate, you only came but one day too late. It's going to be too late after the rapture. It's going to be too late. Man, I can remember, listen, America stopped. America was brought in all its power, in all of its dignity, in all of its military strength. It was brought to a screeching halt. And they ran to the house of God. And God help them men that didn't get up there and preach. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's going to be too late after the rapture. It's going to be too late, wife, when your husband snatched out of your bed. Hey, co-worker, it's going to be too late when that person down at the job that's been praying for you is snatched out of the office. Young lady, it's going to be too late when God snatches your friend out of this world and you can't find them. It's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. It's going to be too late after the rapture. I've told you before, if you get left in the rapture, listen to me, without a doubt, you're going to hell. There's absolutely nothing you're going to be able to do about it. If you're left and you've sat in his church, you're going to hell. It's going to be too late. There's more folk dropping off church pews and going to hell, I believe, ever than it has been in the history of time. Why? Because of what you said today. There's a lot of truth, no Holy Ghost. And a man can't get saved outside the moving of the Holy Ghost. I don't care how much truth you preach. That truth will make you twofold child of hell without the Holy Ghost. You can like that or lump it. I didn't ask your opinion about that. That's Bible, neighbor. I'm not saying that. Haughty. You can know all the doctrines of that Bible and still be lost. Them Pharisees knew that law coming and going. But they were whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. They washed the outside, but their heart was wicked. It's going to be too late after the rapture. It's going to be too late when retribution comes. Retribution, what's that? That's judgment. Noah preached for 120 years. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. But the Bible said the Lord shut the door. And that rain started to fall. You say, well, I don't believe it's going to happen like you said. Hey, and guess what? Them folks in Genesis didn't think it was going to rain either, but it did. Whether you believe it or not, it's not going to affect whether it happens. And when judgment comes, and when judgment falls, it's going to be too late. I believe they beat on the door of that ship over and over and said, Noah, open unto us. Noah, open unto us. But the Lord shut the door. It was too late. Over in that New Testament, it said, once the master's risen to shut the door, they said they beat at the door. And he said, I know you not whence you came. Can I tell you this? You ain't got to be a sop drunk to go to hell. You ain't got to be a doper to go to hell. You've not got to be a harlot or a whoremonger to go to hell. You can go to hell believing in the truths of that Bible that God never has wrote in your heart. I'm not trying to confuse anybody. But after judgment comes, it's going to be too late. It's not only going to be too late after the rapture and after the retribution, but it's going to be too late after that body ruptures. Brother Shim's sister shared with me last week, there was a young man that she was concerned about. And she had witnessed to him and told him, he promised her that he was going to church on Sunday. Am I telling it right? He put it off till Sunday. But that young man took his life before Sunday came and left no testimony that he'd ever been saved. How long ago did that happen?
February 4th.
3 weeks. 3 weeks ago, neighbor. I told you about last week on the way home. About 15 to 12, my phone rang, and it was one of my preachers. And he said, Brother Mark, I'm up at the jail. He said, there was an accident on Highway 115, and there was a young man killed, preacher, and he went to hell. I said, how do you know? He said, preacher, do you remember when we preached Christopher's funeral? He said, do you remember when we preached that funeral and you was preaching to the lost and that young man got up and walked out? He said, that was the young man, preacher. He never got saved. But it was too late. His buddy was drinking. And his buddy was in that same funeral. But now his buddy's going to jail for a vehicular homicide. But worse than that, his buddy sent his friend to hell. You think you're all going to have a time? How do you know that tomorrow there's not a stroke waiting on you? How do you know that before the night comes up, where's Brother Rick, have you drove up on them wreck scenes that you wish to God you ain't never had to come up on? Bodies torn into pieces. I wonder if they had a time to get saved before they had that wreck. Hey, I wonder them folks that had that stroke that their mind has been taken away and they lay on the bed lost. I remember Brother Edgar telling about his daddy, George Thomas. said in that old mill village there in New Holland in Gainesville, Brother Shane grew up in that mill village. It said they were having an old cottage prayer meeting. And Brother Edgar said his daddy got under Holy Ghost conviction and pushed God off. I'm talking about the daddy of one of God's men that he used with great impact and influence in the southern United States. A peer of Dr. Seitler, Brother Jack, you know it. But his daddy, one night they were sweeping in the mill together. And he heard his daddy groan and turned and looked. And the preacher said, before I got to my dad, his face was already purple and vomit was running out of his mouth. He was dead. It was too late after that body ruptured. The first revival we ever had at Wahoo. Hey, neighbor, if you're lost, you don't have to wait till I get done. I may not get done. The Lord may come back. I'd get in the altar. I'd crawl under a pew. I'd do whatever I had to do to get to Jesus. A fruitful time. First revival I ever had at Wahoo. I've been there 3 months. Tuesday night, a man came and he sat right there, Brother Merle, probably in his 50s. The invitation was given, and God dealt with his heart. And that man, the husband of my piano player, walked out of the church, lost. The next morning, I was driving to work, listening to the local news. And they said, a headline come across the news, and said there's been an accident in North Hall County. It's got the road shut down. And Brother Rudy, something within me just fell. Didn't call any names. I knew something was wrong. And I walked in, put my briefcase down, laid my Bible on my desk, and my phone rang. And it was that boy's, that man's son, my choir director. He said, preacher, daddy's dead. He was going to get a biscuit, ran out of the road and hit a tree. And daddy's dead. There wasn't nothing I could say when I walked in that death room to help that family. And I don't believe, Brother E.J., he determined in his heart that that night he was not going to get saved. People don't go to hell intentionally. But that night, he pushed him away. And his fruitful time was taken away. Number two, not only a fruitful time, but there's a fundamental truth. The Bible said, let the wicked forsake his way and return unto the Lord. God don't save people in their sin. He saves people out of their sin. And you'll never get saved, neighbor, till you get ready to break with your sin. That maniac didn't get saved till he came out of the cemetery. Paul didn't get saved till he got ready to break with a synagogue. And them fishermen didn't get saved till they got ready to leave the ships. Let the wicked forsake his way. You'll never get saved till you get tired of the way you are. Husband, you won't ever get saved till you get tired of home life being like it is. You and mama fighting all the time. Carrying on. Why? Because the spirit's contrary to the flesh. And they lust against one another. Everybody all right, young person? Let me tell you something, kids. Teenagers go to hell. They make caskets that fit your size. They make them that fit my size. Honey, they make them that fit your size. Your size. And the thing is, kids don't expect to go, but they do. There's a fundamental truth. There's a fruitful time. But there's a fatherly touch. It ain't all bad news tonight. And I've got good news. He's near. I felt him. Hallelujah. In fact, I'll just be honest with you. He came with me. He helped us in the prophet's room. When we got out and prayed, he helped us. He helped me. Hallelujah. He said, for he will what? Abundantly. Part.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message once again in its entirety, for a free download of this message or a variety of any other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, you can visit The Preaching Channel at WGCRpreaching.net. If you don't have download capabilities, feel free to call and order a CD copy of today's message at 828-884-9427.